This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Shalom Aleichem to the Kollel Agada Pirka, Kew Garden Hills, New York. Actually, this will be our last live share here in Kew Garden Hills. It's been a nice run. We've been getting together for, I believe, 10 years. And Be'ez Hashem, next week, this share is going to segue to what Rebbe Ezra said is a national share. So it's going to be for all the Agada Pirkas. It's going to be on Zoom. And the trip from the five towns to Kew Garden Hills, I'll no longer be able to spend a good chunk of my day on the Van Wyck Expressway. Hopefully we'll come up with better uses of time. It's been quite a while since I saw everybody live. In the last year and a half, we have some new Svarim, so if anybody wants to take a look at them after the Shir, they're welcome to. And but we'll be seeing each other live, Be'ezus Hashem. Okay, Parshat what?
1140.
The Shir will be 1140. Okay, Parshas Chayisara. There's a very well-known Medrash in the beginning of Parshas Chayisara, in the Medrash Rabbah, Parsha Nunches, Simen Gimel. Parsha Nunches, Simen Gimel. And the Medrash says Rabbi Akiva was sitting and darshaning, and the more things change, the more they stay the same, the tzibur was dozing off, right? Ein kol chadash tachas hashemesh. Bikesh la'oiran. Rabbi Akiva wanted to wake them up. Omar! So he pulls out of his sleeve his... By the way, I want to say, before we start, you know, I give a lot of shirim online, but for those listening online, I think the favorite shir is the Monday Agada Pirka shir. I always get comments I've heard from other countries. What's Agada Pirka? The Agada Pirka shir. Why? Because it's the best audience. They could hear the people laugh at the jokes. So I just want to give you a yashar koach for that. Even on Zoom, sometimes you laugh at the jokes, but it's not the same. Okay, anyway, Rabbi Akiva wanted to wake up his Talmidim. So he pulls the best rabbit out of his sleeve. He says, what did Esther see to rule over 127 Medinois? Why was Esther Zoicha to rule over 127 Medinois? And the answer is, Esther was a descendant of Sarah. Sarah Imenu lived 127 righteous years, and in the merit of her 127 righteous years, Esther ruled over 127 Medinois. And here is the million-dollar question. If you were a rabbi, and you're standing at the pulpit, and your constituents were falling asleep, and this is what you pulled out of your sleeve, they would all be out cold. Okay? Do you find this particularly interesting? That why was Esther Zoicha to rule over 127 Medinois in the merit of Sarah's 127 righteous years? What in the world is so interesting about that? That was Rabbi Akiva's best, you know, Milsa de Bdichus over here. What is so interesting about this teaching of Rabbi Akiva? And the Chidush HaRim, it's quoted by the Pnei Menachem. I believe it's in the Chidush HaRim as well. He offers the following explanation. Rabbi Akiva was telling his Talmidim, let's make the following cheshbon. If in the zechus of 127 righteous years of Sarah, Esther ruled over 127 countries, then the merit of every month of Sarah, Esther must have ruled over a whole region. And in the merit of every week of Esther, of Sarah, Esther probably ruled over a state. And in the merit of every day of Sarah's life, Esther ruled over a city. And in the merit of every hour of Sarah's life, Esther probably ruled over a neighborhood. And in the merit of every minute of Sarah's life, Esther ruled over a district or a town. And in the merit of every second of Sarah's life, Esther ruled over a whole city block. Look what you could do in 1 second. In the merit of every second of Sarah's life, Esther got a whole block. And if she would have blown that second, then Esther wouldn't have gotten that block. Look what you could do in a second. Talmidim, don't fall asleep. If you miss this second, you don't know what you could be losing out on. Every second in life is precious. Rabbi Akiva wasn't trying to make a joke. He was telling them you have to take advantage of every moment of life. That's the Chiddush HaHarim. And the question is, so it comes out, which Tana teaches us the value of every moment of life? Rabbi Akiva. Why Rabbi Akiva? Why not Rav Tarfon? Why not Rav Gamliel? Why not Rav Elazar ben Azariah? There's so many Tanoim. Why Dafka Rabbi Akiva? So you ask, why Dafka Rabbi Akiva? I don't know. Are you allowed to ask such a question? Why Dafka Rabbi Akiva? But that question is definitely worthy to be addressed. Anytime you see a memra in the Gemara, you're entitled to ask, why is this Amora saying that memra? Like we once discussed Purim time, you know, the Gemara says, Amar Rava Chayv Inish LeBesume BePuraya Adla Yada Bein Arhama LeBarach Mordechai. Why Rava? Why not, I don't know, why not Abaye? Why not Ran Gamliel? And until Rava, they didn't drink on Purim. You know, why is Rava the Bala Memra? And if you remember, we quoted from the Sefer Shtei Yadois, who quotes from the Arizal, that Rava's neshama was connected to who? Loit. That's why when Loit was saved, Vayikhu es Loit ve'es Rechushoi ben Achi Avraham. And the Arizal says, Rechushoi ben Achi is Rosh Tevois Rava. Rava was connected to Loit. And Loit made a misstep with Yayin. So to rectify Loit's misstep with Yayin, Rava always in Shas is telling you good things you could do with wine, like drinking on Purim, or the Gemara says that Rava would drink wine Erev Pesach to whet his appetite. So throughout Shas, whenever there's a statement about wine, you could take it to the bank, it's Rava. Anytime in Shas there's an anti-wine statement, it's always Abaye, ironically. So you're allowed to ask the question, if you have a memra in the Gemara, why is so-and-so the Baal HaMemra? So we want to know, why is Rabbi Akiva the one who teaches the world Chashivos Hazman, the value of time? So let's speak a little bit about this inyan, the Yikarois Hazman, how precious time is. We're going to start in the beginning. That's always a good place to start. God created the luminaries. Vayomer Elokim, Yehi Me'orois Berkiya Hashamayim. God said, let there be luminaries in the heavens. Lahavdil Bein Hayom Uvein Halayla, to separate between the day and the night. Vahayu La'oisois Ulamayadim. And it should be signs. And Mayadim Uliyamim Vishanim. Vihi and it should be to bring light in the heavens. So right now, this pasuk is God is creating the great luminaries, the sun, the moon, the stars. Right? You know what that is, right? You've been out of your house in the last year and a half. You know there's something called the sun, that round thing that gives off light. What is the function of this, right? If I were to ask you, what is the main function of the sun, the moon, and the stars? What would you say? What is the main... What's their purpose? Most people say to give light, no?
Sounds good.
To give light. To give heat. Look at the pasuk. The pasuk is Vayomer Elokim Yehi Me'orois. Why? Lahavdil bein hayom ubein halayla, to separate between day and night. And to make yamim toivim, and years and days. And v'hoyu l'me'orois, and they should give light, says Rashi, oidzois, by the way, a secondary function is they should give light, as if the fact that the sun and the moon give light, that's their secondary function. And what's their primary function? Asks Hagoin Reb Simcha Wasserman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. This is quoted in the Sefer Kuntres Simchas Elazar, and also in the Koivitz Parshiois. How could you say that the fact that the luminaries give light is its secondary function, isn't it its primary function? And Rav Simcha Wasserman says, no. The fact that the luminaries give light, it's its secondary function. You know what the primary function of the luminaries are? To tell time. To know when it's day, when it's night, when an hour has passed, when a moment has passed. How do we know what time it is? We only know what time it is based on the sun and the moon. The primary function of the sun and the moon is v'hayu le'yamim v'shanim, to tell time. And by the way, the fact that they keep us alive, that's also another function. The fact that they give heat and light, that's another function. But that's not primary. Primary is The fact that through them we're able to tell time is the primary function of the sun and the moon. Listen to a Mishnah. Herzachayna Mishnah. Misha nafla alav ma'poilas. That's one thing that we've encountered in the last year and a half. Somebody who an avalanche fell on them, unfortunately. Safek husham, safek enisham. He might be there, he might not be there. Safek chai, safek meis. He might be alive, he might not. Safek nachri, safek Yisrael. Mefakchin olav es hagal. You're allowed to desecrate Shabbos and uncover the pile. Mitzul chai, if he's alive, you continue to uncover. If he's dead, you can't continue to be mechal Shabbos. Meaning, you have someone, lo yaleinu, they're under the rubble. What if they're basically almost unconscious, they're a goyseis, and they can only live one more moment? Ayolach ayesha, right? Are you allowed to desecrate Shabbos to prolong someone's life one extra moment?
Of course.
So the question is why? What could they do in one moment? What could somebody do in 1 second? Why would you desecrate Shabbos to be able to prolong someone's life for one moment? And the answer is, look at this Me'iri, Herzachayna Me'iri. Says the Me'iri, page Resh Tzadi Gimel, Hizchilu lefakeach, if you began to uncover, ubadku, and you checked, b'choydma, you checked his nose, right? They put the feather by the nose. Umatza'u chay, and you found that he's alive. Mashlimin b'fikuchay, you complete the overseeing. Afal pishin is bara, even though it's clear, she efshalay lichyos afil sha'achas, that's impossible to live for even 1 second. Sheba oisa shah, yashuv belibay v'yisvadeh. In that 1 second, maybe the person will do tshuva. It only takes one moment to do tshuva. In that extra moment, the person is alive, the person could do tshuva. Yeah, Rabbi Bleich says over the story that he had an elderly parent or grandparent who was on life support, and the doctors were, you know, pressuring him, you know, to take off. What value is a person's life? And he remembered, he walked in and he says to the relative, "Good Shabbos." And the relative responded back, "Good Shabbos." And according to Rabbi Kiva Eger, when a person says "Good Shabbos," they're mekayim the mitzvahs asay da'iraisa zachar esyoim hashabbos lekadshoi. In one moment of life, a person can be mekayim a mitzvah. With that mitzvah, yesh koina oylamai b'sha'achas. Remember, my great-grandmother, Zuchar Nebrach, was in the hospital on her last day, and my uncle, my father, went to spend Shabbos with her, and she was on complete life support, and there was no communication with her, but they figured, okay, they'll sing Zmiros with her. They'll sing Zmiros Friday night. And they sang the zemer of her father. They sang the Karibain. And that Karibain stirred her, and she was shaking and she was swaying to participate in the Zmirois. The Sefer Hasidim writes, singing Zmirois on Shabbos is a mitzvah d'oraisa. What's the mitzvah d'oraisa of singing Zmirois on Shabbos? It says by Eoiv. Eoiv said he cursed his life. He said, "In my house there should be no light. It should only be cursed. There should be no light. There should be no song." Says the Sefer Chasidim. So we see the definition of cursed is lack of song. So if Shabbos is Vayivarech Hashem as Yom Hashvi, Shabbos is blessed, then if God says in the Torah Vayivarech Hashem as Yom Hashvi, the way to make Shabbos blessed is Miros of Shabbos. So you never know. One moment of life, you could do tshuva. You could be mekayim zachas yom Shabbos lekadsha. You could be mekayim vayivarech alekim asayim hashvi. There is a well-known observation that was made in Slabotka, in the Navi Yonah. Remember good old Yonah? Yonah's on the ship. He's running away. And everybody realizes that it's this guy's fault. It's Yonah's fault. So Yonah says, "Okay, I'll take the blame." He says, "Throw me overboard. Throw me over, and then the storm will stop." So the pasuk says, "Vayomer lehem, sa'uni v'hatiluni alayam, lift me up and toss me over." And Rabbi Leib Chasman once told his Talmidim at the end of the last Yom Kippur of his life, He said, what's pshat? Sa'uni vahatiluni. Lift me up and hurl me. Just say, hurl me. Why the extra word, sa'uni? And Rabbi Leib Chassin would say, Yonah understood his end was coming. He understood he has to go. But if he could buy one more moment of life, lift me up and then throw me overboard, Yonah said, that's worth it. Every second of life is so valuable. In fact, in the Hakdama of the Sefer Tiras Avram was written by the Mashgiach of Slabodka, Rabbi Avram Grozinski, I believe, was the father-in-law of many notable Gedolim. He was the father-in-law of Rabbi Chaim Kreisworth. He was the father-in-law of is it possible Rabbi Volba? I don't remember. He was the father-in-law of many, maybe Rabbi Yaakov. And I had the chus to meet his son in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yitzchak Grozinski. He lived in the building of Rabbi Aaron Leib Steinman. I remember when I was a bacher, you couldn't get into Rabbi Aaron Leib. It was like, but we used to go to Rabbi Yitzchak Grozinski. And the Hakdama of the Sefer was written by somebody by the name of Rabbi Mordechai Zuckerman. Mordechai Zuckerman was one of the last Talmidim of the Chafetz Chaim. I remember as a bacher, getting a bracha from Rabbi Mordechai Zuckerman. In fact, Rabbi Avram Grozinski had the following idea that in the Kovna ghetto, when the Nazis basically took over Elita, so based on last week's parsha, that if there are 10 tzaddikim, it would save the city, Rabbi Avram Grozinski sort of gathered 10 people who would accept upon themselves to be 10 tzaddikim, and in their merit, they would save Lithuania from the Nazis. Now, one of these 10 tzaddikim was Rabbi Mordechai Zuckerman. Anyway, we're at the end of the life of Rabbi Grozinski. They're very scary pictures. You know, he had a long beard. There's a picture of him when the Nazis shaved his beard, except for his mustache. Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky put out a book about the history of the five towns. So, in that book, he has the picture of Rabbi Avram Grozinski when the Nazis shaved his beard. It's a very haunting picture. So anyway, at the end of his life, he was a choyla mesukan, but he begged them to take him out of the hospital and bring him to the ghetto, even though he knew his end was coming, just to be able to buy a few extra moments of life. So, and he quoted this idea of that Rabbi Leib Chassman said, he quoted in the name of the altar of Slabodka, that so'uni v'hatiluni min hayam, lift me up, because if you lift me up, so I'll have one additional moment of life. In fact, it's I have a sefer at home, one of my favorite sfarim. The name of the sefer is Chaim Techila. It was written by the great Goyin, Reb Chaim Falaji. Reb Chaim Falaji was the rabbi of Turkey, of Izmir. And he wrote many, many, many sfarim. And he wrote the Chaim Techila. When he published it in small size. What's Chaim Techila? 101 ways to connect the last pasuk of the Chumash to the first pasuk of the Chumash. 101 ways to connect La'enei Kol Yisrael to Bereishis Bara Elokim Es HaShemayim V'Es HaAretz. You know, one way is La'enei Kol Yisrael Bara Shai. Barasa Shai, for all of Israel, God created the 310 worlds of Olam Haba. La'ene Kol Yisrael, Barasa Shai. So he has these kinds of mnemonics. Anyway, he writes, the reason why he published in small size is the whole reason he wrote this sefer is each perush, each way to connect the end of the Torah to the beginning is very short. It's like a short Dvar Torah. And he says in the month of Tishrei, people don't have a lot of time to learn. So, you know, they're busy, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Dalet Minim, building the sukkah, they're waiting online, they're here. So they don't have set time to learn, they only have a few minutes here, a few minutes there. So he wrote this sefer, this way, people have a minute here, a minute there, they could chop, okay, one pshat, another pshat, another pshat. And that's why he published it in pocket size, this way people could carry it around with them, and they could take advantage of the regoyim sfairis, the small amount of time that they had. That's why the Chafetz Chaim recommended in the Sefer Taras Habayis, in Parak Vav, we have over here on page Reish Sadi Dalad, the Chafetz Chaim recommended that people should try to be a baki in a Masechta Baal Peh or in a Seder Mishnayis. And the Chafetz Chaim writes many benefits. Number one, by doing so, you're mekayim the inyan v'hoyu hadvarim ha'ela asher anoichi mitzavcha hayoyim al levavecha. This way the Torah is upon your heart. Number two, I'm skipping number two for a moment. He quotes the Zohar HaKadosh that somebody who inherits one mesechta inherits a whole world. How do you koine mesechta? If you know one mesechta baal peh, so you're koine that mesechta. Or we have in Psachim, the Gemara Psachim says, "Ashrei mi shabala kan v'tamudai biyadai." Fortunate someone who comes upstairs with his learning in his hand. That if you know a mesechta baal peh, you'll be able to come v'tamudai biyadai. But one of the main reasons the Chafetz Chaim recommended knowing a mesechta baal peh, this way you're mekayim the inyan of v'dibarta bam b'shivtecha b'veisecha uvlechtecha v'adarach. This way, you're mekayim the inyan that when you're traveling, when you're on the road, when you're waiting online, when you're here, when you're there, you'll be able to be mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah wherever you are. Marv Raboisai, let's give an illustration how valuable one word of Torah is. Now, by the way, the Chofetz Chaim did an experiment. How many words of Torah can a person learn in 1 minute? Chafetz Chaim writes that he looked at his watch, he got a stopwatch, and in 1 minute, a person could learn 200 words. So that means, that, think about it, not only the value of a second, the value of a third of a second. The value of a third of a second. A person could learn 200 words in 1 minute. So I want to share with you a teaching of the Altar of Kelm. It's brought in many Sfarim. And the following idea. The Altar of Kelm said, this is on page Reish Tzadihei. The Altar of Kelm said, the whole world was created for one purpose. Kol ma shebara kadosh baruch hu ba'ilamai loy baroi ela l'chvoidai. That means, says the Altar of Kelm, it was worth it for the Almighty to create the whole world and to maintain it and to keep it alive for 6,000 years so that one guy, one time in his life, could answer, Baruch Hu Uvaruch Shemai. Now obviously that guy's not a grunik because the gra holds you don't answer Baruch Hu Baruch Shemai. Just for one guy to one time answer Baruch Hu Baruch Shemai, the whole creation was worthwhile. Says the Altar of Kelm, 1,000 Baruch Hu Baruch Shemais is not equal the value of one Amen. I mean, now Baruch Hu Baruch Shemais is pretty valuable because it's worthwhile for God to create the whole creation and go through the Kayin killing Heva and the whole Mabul and the whole Dor HaFlaga and the whole the Roman Empire and the Babylonian Empire and all these chalarias, just so one guy can answer Baruch Hu Baruch Shemai. But 1,000 Baruch Hu Baruch Shemai is not even equal one Amen. And 1,000 Amens is not equal one Amen Yehi Shmei Rabbah. And 1,000 Amen Yehi Shmei Rabbahs is not equal one word of Limud HaTorah. And how much time does it take to learn one word of Torah? Less than a third of a second. And it's worthwhile to create the world so that just so that one person can answer, Baruch Hu Baruch Shemai. So a person might say, okay, I don't know a Masechta Baal Peh. Not only that, I don't even know one Mishnah Baal Peh. I don't even know one word of Mishnayis, I can't even translate it. Worry not, because there are still many things a person could accomplish in split moments. The Sefer HaChinuch writes, take a look in the bottom of page Reish Sadihei. Sefer HaChinuch writes that certain mitzvahs only apply at certain times, only apply to certain people, can only be fulfilled during the day, during the night, by a ish, by an isha, by a koyin, when the Beis Hamikdash is standing, chutz mishisha mitzvahs mehen shechiyuvan tmidi, except for six mitzvahs that their obligation is constant. Lo yipasek me'ala adam afilu rega b'chol yamav. These six mitzvahs do not cease even for a moment, for one whole life. And these are called the sheish mitzvahs tamidiyos. Number one, lehamin b'Hashem, to believe in Hashem. Number two, shaloi lehamin zulasai, not to believe in anyone else. Number three, liyachadoi, to believe there's only one God. Number four, liahava oisai, to love Him. Number five, liyira oisai, to fear Him. Number six, shaloi lasor achar machshavas halev riyas haynayim, not to turn after the thoughts of the heart and one's eyes. These are the six mitzvahs tamidiyos, which, by the way, the Mishnah Berurah and the Beir Halacha quotes them, and he says, any moment, kol zman, v'chol rega, sheyachshav bahen, any moment one thinks about them, kiyem mitzvah saseh, ve'ein keitz l'matan schar ha-mitzvahs, there's no end. The reward for mitzvahs is infinite. Va'ashrei ha-mekayimam karoi, fortunate is someone who fulfills the sheish mitzvahs properly. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, how do you remember their six mitzvahs? Simanam, here's the mnemonic. You ready? Sheish are miklad tiyana lachem. There are six cities of refuge. Now, I don't think it's so complicated to remember that there are six constant mitzvahs that I need. Oh, well, you know what the mnemonic is? There's, I don't know, why not Shishay Sidre Mishnah? That's the six Orei Miklat. By the way, you know that there's a lot of speculation now that the Taliban come from the Asar Sashvatim. You know about this? And they have a number of Jewish practices. Most prominent among them is this answers a very well-known question. It says, why were there so many Ari Miklat Me'ever LaYarden, right? Equal to the rest of Jews, because, well, Begilad Shchichi Roitzchen. In Gilad, there are a lot of murderers. So the question is, that's very nice, but you don't go to the Ari Miklat if you're a murderer, you go to the Ari Miklat if you murder by accident. And what's the answer? The more intentional murderers there are, the more accidental murderers there are. Same thing with the Taliban. What mitzvah do they really emphasize more than anything else? Ari Miklat. That's their mitzvah. You know, some people, their mitzvah is tefillin, talis, chesed by the Taliban. Their mitzvah is Orei Miklat. That's Kodesh Kadashim. So what do you mean? Why are they killing so many people b'shoigeg? Same thing. When there are a lot of retzichas b'mezid, there end up being a lot of retzichas b'shoigeg. They're not my cousins, but I know other people down my block who might be related to them. But a lot happens in a year and a half, you know? You find out about a lot of long-lost relatives. Anyway, why do we need to know that the simon for the sheish mitzvahs tamidiyos are the Orei Miklat? So the Prima Gadim, in his Hakdama to Arachayim, Prima Gadim says, you know why? You know what the analogy between the Orei Miklat is and the sheish mitzvahs tamidiyos? Says the Prima Gadim. He says on the bottom of page, Reish Tzadi Vav, Achshoy Vani, I think, K'moy haroitzeach, like a murderer. Miyad sheyatza mitchum miklatay, the moment he comes out of his refuge, nirtzach, or reshus v'yagol adam la'miso, he could get killed. The moment the roitzeach leaves the miklat, he's endangering his life. So too these six mitzvahs, one has to place on their mind always, v'imchas v'shalom rega echad, zaz mehem ein toiv. The moment you start thinking about other things, it ain't good. It's like you're leaving the Orei Miklat. These six mitzvahs offer you a sphere of protection. It's like an iron dome. The moment you leave out, the moment you venture out, you're in danger. Perhaps we could add, what's the connection between the Orei Miklat and the sheish mitzvahs tamidiyos? And that is, Marv Raboisai, life is very short. I just saw yesterday something beautiful from Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. The Gemara in Bava Kama says on Daf Tzadi Aleph on the Beis, Amravinu minted coins. I happen to... No, I'm just... Avraham Avinu minted coins. What was on the coin of Avraham Avinu? So, the Gemara says on one side was Bachor Ubesula, and on the other side was Zakein Uzakena. Young man, young woman. On the other side, old man. Oh, what's the meaning of that? Says Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank. The meaning is, Avraham Avinu was teaching the world, life goes by very quickly. Time flies. You start off young man, young woman, and you just flip it around, and before you know it, it's Zakeinu Zakena. That was the message of the coin of Avraham Avinu. So life is very short, and there are a lot of things in this world that take away our time, that diminish our time. However, through the Sheish Mitzvos Tamidiyos, a person could rescue themselves, save themselves from the danger, the greatest danger in the world. What's the greatest danger in the world? Sakonas ho'avadoin of ibud ubizmas hazman, the danger of losing time. So they once asked the Shevet Halevi, Reb Shmuel Halevi Vosner, the great Poisek, the Shevet Halevi, they asked him, you know, what do you say about the Sheish Mitzvos Tamidiyos? They figured, I don't know, you know, he's learning Torah all day. He's going to say it's bittul, you know. Well, what is a person doing? Thinking about, I love you, Hashem. I fear you, Hashem. Let's get what they are. The first one is to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number two, ve'ein zulasai, there's no other God. Number three, liyachadoi, that God is one. Achdos habore, that you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By the way, the Chofetz Chaim writes that why should the love of Hashem be different than any other mitzvah d'oraisa? The same way, you know, before you go home in the morning, you make sure you said Shema, and you put on tefillin, and then you eat breakfast. So too, why should a person let any day of their life go by without first being mekayim the mitzvah of avas Hashem, and then you could go eat? And in the chachila, you should have it in mind when you say the pasuk v'yohavtais Hashem lekecha. You don't have time there, at least before you go home at night, before you go home in the morning, Rav Miller would say that you should make sure to make it your business to say, I love you, Hashem. If you're embarrassed to do that, he would say, go into a telephone booth and make a long distance call. So you say, there are no more telephone booths. So these things could have some purpose. Anyway, all day people, they're on these things. So you're also on it. You can make a, I love you, Hashem. And if you're embarrassed to do that, you could send a text message. There are all kinds of ways to take advantage of this little device that, more than anything else, it strives to take away our time. So they asked Reb Vosner, what do you have to say about the Sheish Mitzvos Tamidiyos? Says Reb Vosner, believe you me. Ha'amin li, Habibi. Zeli kvar shivim shana. Ani meharher ba'otam Sheish Mitzvot Tamidiyot. Lepachot mea pe'amim b'yayim. For 70 years, not a day went by that I did not fulfill Sheish Mitzvos Tamidiyos at least 100 times. Ha'amin li chavivi ze kvar shivim shana ani meharher ba'oysam Sheish Mitzvos Tamidiyos lefachos mea pe'amim b'yayim. Now, who's the great Tana who sees his Talmidim? They're falling asleep. They're losing moments. They're losing seconds. And he wants to wake them up. And he wants to tell them, no, the value of time every moment. Rabbi Akiva, why Rabbi Akiva? So we want to suggest, what does the word Akiva stand for? Says the Rama Mipano. Akiva stands for Yesh koina oilamoi b'sha achas. Akiva is Rashi Tevois. Yesh koina oilamoi b'sha achas, says Rama Mipano, in Maimer Yoinas Elam. So you say, but that's only if you spell Akiva with an aleph. But what if you spell Akiva with a hey? Now we spell with an aleph, but you know the Or Zarua, Rabbi Yitzchak Avina wrote a sefer, and he called the sefer Or Zarua. And when he was asked, why do you call it Arzarua? He said, look, I was writing a book, and I had a dream. And in the dream, I saw the following pasuk. Arzarua latzadik uli yishrei leif simcha. I said, huh? Why is the heaven showing me Arzarua latzadik? He says, because I was writing in the Sefer, how do you spell Akiva for Gittin? And I wasn't sure if you spell with the Aleph at the end or a Hey. And then I realized, Or Zarua La Tzadik Uli Yishrei Leiv Simcha is Rosh Tevois Rebbe Akiva. Or ends in a Resh. Zarua ends in an Ayin. La Tzadik ends in a Kuf. Uli Yishrei ends in a Yud. Leiv ends with a Vez. Simcha ends with a Hey. Based on that, I paskin that Akiva is spelled with a Hey. By the way, we don't paskin that way. We spell with an Aleph. But he named it Or Zarua because... But the Ben Yehoyada asks, what if you spell Akiva with a Hey? He says, not a problem. Then Akiva stands for Yesh Kaina Oilamai Bisha Ha'achas. You could acquire Olam Haba in the one moment. Is it coincidental that this individual, Rabbi Akiva, was given the name Akiva, Yesh Koina Olama B'Sha'achas? We know a name captures the essence of the individual. And if there's one person who we know who got a late start in life, but made sure that in his remaining 80 years he took advantage of every single moment, it's the great Tana, Rabbi Akiva. To the extent where Chazal say he reached levels even higher than Moshe Rabbeinu. Have the man do it. He, until age 40, he was Am Haaretz. He didn't have that much time after. The answer is he made sure to take advantage of every single rega and moment and minute. And that was the essence of his being. He personified, he embodied Yesh Koina Oilamai B'Sha'achas. And therefore, if there's any Tana who could teach Klal Yisrael, teach his Talmidim, the value of an hour, the value of a moment, the value of a second, it is none other than the great Tana, Rabbi Akiva. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva, when he wants to wake up his Talmidim, he says, my dear Talmidim, in the merit of every year of Sarah's life, Esther ruled over a country, in the merit of every month, a region, in the merit of every day, a city, in the merit of every moment of Sarah's life, Esther ruled over something quite significant. Every moment of life is precious. That's the main objective of the sun. That's what our life is made out of. These moments that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. And we see the greatest of people, somebody like the Shevet HaLevi, took advantage not only of the hours he had to learn, but even the milliseconds, the meaningful milliseconds he took advantage of. And he was mekayim these Sheish Mitzvahs by his own testimony at least 100 times a day. It is a great pleasure to see everybody. Bracha v'hatzlacha. I'm sure we'll be seeing each other around. And please join us starting November 1st on Monday at 11:40 for the shir. Happens to be November 8th. I'm out of town, so we're not going to have the shir November 8th. But we'll be back on the 15th. And until then, bracha v'hatzlacha. Shkoyach. Thank you. If anybody's interested in some of the new svarim, these are the samples, and there's more in the car.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, Frank.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.